This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Modern Doctor Who never tires from reminding us that death and the Doctor go hand in hand. Right back in 2005's Rose, Clive warned us that he brings the storm in his wake and has one constant companion, death. Recent counts put the number of deaths in Doctor Who in the thousands, and that's not even taking into account the devastating effects of the Flux. Whilst the Weeping Angels kill you with kindness, there are plenty of other villains that will have you crying out for extermination. With that in mind, I'm Ellie with Who Culture, and these are 10 Doctor Who fates worse than death. Number 10, living as a face in a paving slab. It seems harsh to call Ursula's life with Elton worse than death, especially when it's one of those unconventional love stories Russell T Davies usually tells so well. But there's just something off about it, and it doesn't really feel like a happy ending for either character. If you think about it, Elton is a bit of an oddball and a loner, who comes out of his shell due to his friendship with a group of people who share a fascination with the Doctor. In saving part of Ursula from the Absorbaloff, isn't the Doctor forcing Elton to shrink back inside himself? Is he going to go out and find new pals dragging Ursula along with him? Or is he going to stay in again, always anticipating the moment he has to explain the face in the paving slab? And incidentally, what does Ursula get out of this arrangement? While some have pointed to this as a metaphor for disability, it's a spectacularly misjudged one. Elton says they have a sex life of sorts, but how much enjoyment can she be getting out of that? And there's no escaping the suggestive choice of camera angle. It's just a bizarre climax to a bizarre story. Number 9. Turned into a Cyberman. The Cybermen are essentially human remains held together by cybernetic technology. That horrifying fact isn't really looked into much in the original series after the 1960s, aside from the cheap-looking silver augmentations in the likes of Attack of the Cybermen and Silver Nemesis. From 2005 onwards, there has been the itchy and scratchy style whizzing blaze to infer the horrors of the conversion process, but it doesn't quite land. Cyberized Jackie is just a bloke in a cybersuit, whilst the less said about James Corden's botched conversion, the better. It's not until World Enough in Time and The Doctor Falls that Stephen Moffat finally cracks it. He converts Bill into a Cyberman in order to save her life from the gaping gunshot wound in her chest. The fact that Bill's strength of will means that she retains her memories and knowledge of what happened to her is utterly nightmarish. It's an astonishing performance by Pearl Mackie, and doubles up as one of the Master's few victories over the Doctor. Thankfully, Bill gets to escape her hellish painful existence with the help of her girlfriend, a sentient puddle. Doctor Who's a bit mad, isn't it? Number 8. Living for eternity as a scarecrow. Whilst the 10th Doctor may claim to be a pacifist refusing to shoot General Cobb, he's not above more baroque punishments for alien wrongdoers. In the closing scenes of The Family of Blood, he doles out his various punishments to the titular family. Imprisoning daughter of mine in a mirror world, booting mother of mine into a collapsing star, and wrapping father of mine in unbreakable chains. The Doctor saves arguably the most unpleasant fate for son of mine, eternal life as a scarecrow in a muddy, cold English field. At least a collapsing star is warm. On the surface, the never-ending tedium is bad enough, but it gets worse and worse the more you think about it. But what happens when someone wants to redevelop the land? Do they move the scarecrow to another field? Put it on a bonfire? He is rendered immobile, unable to move. What happens when crows become wise and we don't need scarecrows anymore? It's a harsh example of the Doctor without mercy. And the moment where the 10th Doctor places the sack over Son of Mine's head is one of the most chilling moments of the 10th Doctor's era. Number 7. Married to Brian Blessed. Following complaints of too much violence and horror in Colin Baker's era, Doctor Who returned after an 18-month hiatus, refreshed, renewed, and ready to take on board those criticisms. Yeah, right. The Trial of a Time Lord features the Doctor apparently commit genocide, carry-on favourite Joan Sims being electrocuted to death, and most controversially, the Doctor's companion Perry being shot dead. Although the fraudulent nature of the Doctor's trial suggested that all was not as it seemed, we were led to believe that she was dead and that the Doctor was unable to save her. In what feels like a crisis of conscience on the part of producer John Nathan Turner, Perry's death was hastily retconned 6 episodes later. It is revealed that her life was saved and she's now happily married to the warrior king Yukarnos, as played by Brian Blessed. Is that better? She's basically swapped one bombastic old ham for another. Not only that, but throughout her time in the TARDIS, Perry was lusted after by various older men, lascivious monsters, and cannibal chefs. Is her happy ending really with the warrior king who 6 episodes previously shot her to death? Number 6, living without a face. With the Queen's coronation, street parties, and references to 1950s kids' show What With Mother, Mark Gatiss's The Idiot's Lantern is maybe too cozy and too old-fashioned to be anyone's favourite story. And yet it has a really strong vein of body horror running through it. There's genuinely frightening imagery on display here. The knocking of Grandma Connolly's cane on the floor above, the scratchy grey blanket being pulled off to reveal a faceless rose. Not only that, but the cage full of faceless people flexing their hands in the half-light is a properly creepy Doctor Who moment. The sheer concept of having your whole face removed, unable to see or hear or smell or have any idea of where you are, is spine-tingly frightening. The Wire is a horrible Doctor Who villain. It doesn't kill you, but steals your face and leaves you on the street to shamble around, confused and faceless. Your consciousness, meanwhile, is stored on a television set, screaming for help. It's a fate so chilling and so memorable that it spawned an action figure of the faceless grandma with a swappable head and a tiny TV.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Number 5. Absorbed into the Absorbaloff's right buttock. You know Victor Kennedy is a wrong'un from the minute he arrives at his first Linda meeting. He takes everything way too seriously, tries to prove that he's the smartest person in the room, and stamps out any fun and enjoyment. Basically a Doctor Who fan on Twitter. But this performative fandom conceals his true intention. In a glorious bit of overacting from Peter Kay, the Absorbaloff is revealed, wagging his tongue and writhing around in his chair. He hasn't murdered the missing Linda members, he's absorbed them into his physical form. Imagine it, not dead but living on inside the belly, chest or hip of a grotesque alien creature dreamt up by a Blue Peter competition winner. If that wasn't chilling enough, poor Bliss is doomed to spend her life on the Absorbaloff's right arse cheek. Hardly the most desirable of living conditions, especially on an alien whose home planet is twinned with that of the notoriously gassy Slitheen. No wonder she and the other Linda members chose death when they were presented with the opportunity. Number 4, living for an eternity in pain. The history of Doctor Who is littered with the corpses of scientists who believe they could cheat death. John Lumick dead on his cyber throne, a naked and shivering Professor Lazarus who fell from the bell tower whilst in the form of a giant scorpion, the shattered and broken remains of Morbius in his patchwork body at the bottom of a cliff. And then there's Mordrin and his fellow scientists who use Gallifreyan technology to replicate the Time Lord's regenerative abilities. Predictably, it failed spectacularly, and they were forced to live a life of unending mutations and excruciating agony. We first meet Mordrin as a charred corpse who eventually regenerates into something that can only be described as Riffraff from Rocky Horror with a plate of carbonara on his head. Unable to take the agony any longer, Mordrin and his colleagues plead with the Doctor to use his regeneration energy to euthanize them all, in one of Doctor Who's bleakest story beats. The Doctor is willing to oblige until an alternative method presents itself at the story's climax. Number 3. Converted into a Dalek. The notoriously racially pure Daleks only ever sully themselves with inferior human DNA in extreme circumstances. We don't see the process in Bad Wolf or The Parting of the Ways, but what we do see in Revelation of the Daleks is utterly horrific. Doctor Who did itself no favours with the portrayal of poor Arthur Stengos, his one good eye peering out of a bulging purple mass of sores and gunge crammed inside a glass Dalek. It's a genuinely horrible moment in a story that's crammed full of them. When the unfortunate Arthur pleads with his daughter to murder him, you start to think Michael Grade might have had a point about the increasing grisliness of the show. Compare this to the portrayal of Oswin being converted in Asylum of the Daleks, and it's far more affecting because of Moffat's tricksy narrative and the eventual reveal. She and the audience believe that she's a charming shipwreck survivor right up until everyone realizes the horrible truth, that she's been crammed inside a Dalek casing. Given the choice between disgusting purple blob, psychological breakdown, or a quick blast from a Dalek gunstick, you'd go for extermination every time, right? Number 2. Captain Jack being repeatedly murdered and resurrected. Resurrected by Rose Tyler, the indestructible Captain Jack Harkness has been shot in the head, disembodied, encased in concrete, and electrocuted by a sexy cyberwoman. They smash him, but they know he'll keep coming back. Captain Jack has it tough. Especially in Torchwood. He's buried alive for 2,000 years at one point. It's not quite the 4 billion years the 12th Doctor spends inside the confession dial, but Barrowman doesn't have Capaldi's range. Immortality sounds exhausting, and there was surely some point during the time in which he was routinely murdered by terrified American townsfolk that he wished Rose had just left him for dead. It's amazing that he's managed to keep both his sense of humour and libido throughout being repeatedly murdered for thousands of years. It's clearly a byproduct of casting John Barrowman in the role, whose Mr. Saturday Night vibe is at odds with the dark, tortured, immortal hero the show often aims to portray. Number 1. Donna Noble lives as an amnesiac. This still hurts almost 14 years later. Donna Noble's fate was devastating, so much so that Russell T. Davies excised a cliffhanger that would tease the Christmas special in order to give the Doctor and the audience a moment or two to grieve. With her inferior human brain too full of Time Lord knowledge and her head about to explode, the Doctor wipes Donna's memories of their adventures together. What makes this even more powerful is that only 2 episodes prior, we saw how miserable her life would have been without the Doctor in it. Dreary office work for bosses with wandering hands, stuck at home with her undermining mother. It's the fact that Donna's triumphant character arc from small-minded office temp to seasoned time and space traveller is cruelly reset only hammers home the sadness. Her memory wipe is both worse than death and sort of dying. The confident Donna Noble dies and is reborn as the woman who thinks she can change the world by shouting at it. She will never know how great she really was.